Let's read this one verse here, verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's talking about our submission that is a result of our being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And in general, for a long time, we've been studying what Paul calls us to. What does Paul call us to? He calls us to a new life. Paul calls us to a new way of thinking, to a new way of speaking, to a new way of acting, to a new way of living, a new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are past, all things are new. The old things have ended, the new things have begun. This is the goal of the Christian life that Paul states in chapter 4, verse 1. It says that we would walk worthy of the calling that God has called us with. Way back in chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "You are saved by faith for one reason. You are saved so that you could live your life, or you would in your life demonstrate the good works that God created you to do." And there are many contrasts that we've read in these chapters that Paul gives us many examples as an illustration of how our life and our talking and our living needs to be different and contrast with the world. Just like light is opposite from darkness, right? Many examples. Just like truth is opposite from falsehood or from lies. It is a sad fact, and it's very sad to say that many Christians today, many churches today, and Christianity in general, as a general word, I'm not saying specifically any one Christian or any one church, but in general, Christianity has long, long ago departed and left and deserted the standards of living and speaking and thinking that God instructs us and has given us very plainly in His Word. And instead of living by God's standard, lives in harmony with the standard of the world. The world has a way, and why swim upriver when the river's going the other direction? It's so much easier to flow with the direction the river is going. It is very sad that when it comes to marriage, when it comes to husbands and wives, many Christians are unfamiliar with what Scripture teaches. And that's why their lives are so very similar to unchristian or unbiblical marriages. Even sadder is that many Christians are unfamiliar. It's one thing to know God's Word and live in disobedience, but it's another thing to be ignorant of it. And of the standards, of the many standards that God gives us to live, unfortunately, marriage is the one where Satan has focused most of his energy and attacks the family and attacks marriages and husbands and wives and children in a family more than any other way in society. And the way the family goes, that's the way the church goes, and that's the way society goes. That's the way the country goes. And Satan has confused and corrupted the very institution of marriage, which is the very, very first formalized institution that we find in the Bible. Government did not come into existence, and Paul will go on and talk about us being subject to the laws of the nation. But governments and countries did not come into existence until after the flood. If you read Genesis very carefully, before the flood, basically it was a patriarchal society where the husband or the father ruled the family. And after the flood, when people began to separate, especially as you read the division of languages, when languages appeared. Up until chapter 11 of Genesis, everybody in the world spoke the same language. After that, God divided the languages and people began to separate and live in groups according to the languages that they spoke. And thus we have countries and nations and nationalities. But governments and structure of authority did not appear until after the flood, some 1,500 years possibly after the creation of Adam and Eve in the garden. And so when we come to the subject of marriage that Paul is going to speak about here as an illustration, as a picture of what the church and what Christianity and what we as believers are to live like, this text not so much speaks about marriage as about our attitude and our relationship to Jesus Christ. It says here, "Wives, submit yourselves to your very own husbands as to the Lord." It's as if your husband or the man that you have, that God has given you, it's as if it's the Lord that you're living with. And one of the interesting things that we find in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, when we find Jesus' three-year ministry, we find it was not the woman that opposed Jesus. It was the men. It was the Pharisees. But all the women, they loved Jesus. And they were willing to give up everything that they had and their riches and their possessions. And they ministered to Jesus. But when we come to the subject of marriage and when we come to the subject of the role of a husband and a wife that Paul here will illustrate to us, giving us the picture of Jesus Christ and how he treats his church. That's the contrast we need to see. But it's a sad thing that when we come to this subject that we get a lot of smiles. A lot of people smile when you start talking about the role of husbands and wives. Even more sad, as you begin to speak to people about marriage, and sadly, sometimes even to Christian people, you hear a lot of jokes about marriage. There's nothing funny about marriage. There's nothing to laugh about. It's a very serious subject, especially when we talk about the role of a man and the role of a woman in marriage and the role of a Christian in relationship to Jesus Christ in the church and our submission to the Word of God through the structure that God has set up in society. And especially when we come to this text where it talks about submission. It's something that is very, very hard and difficult to do. In fact, I would like to say that it is impossible for any believer to submit to each other or to submit to the Word of God or for a wife to submit to her husband or for the husband to submit to Jesus Christ, as our text says, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is the power that enables us to do it. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, Romans tells us that you don't even belong to Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian, it's almost impossible to have what we would call a normal marriage because you don't understand the things that God is talking about. Although God did promise to bless marriage if it's in accordance to His Word. And so we find that in the church, when there should be a unified front according to how Scripture teaches us, we find a big diversity in the way people think about marriage. People have a lot of different ideas, even in the church, about what an ideal marriage is. And that is because all of us come from different societies, and every society has a different idea of what marriage is to be. And so, what I said last time, I want to repeat today, so that it would fall deep in our mind and in our heart. I pray that as we approach this subject, that we would approach it as if we know nothing about marriage. And we have come here today, and Jesus is going to speak to us from His Word. As we review, when we go back to the book of Genesis, God created the universe. He prepared the Garden of Eden. He creates man, and He places man to be dominant over all the animals and everything that was there. He delegated power to Adam. Adam was to think. Adam was to name the animals. Adam was to be in charge. God created Adam and put him in charge. And then God creates Eve from where? God creates Eve from close to the heart of man, from his rib, from part of his body. And when Adam sees Eve, he says, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my bone, of my flesh. This is part of me. This isn't part of an animal. This isn't part of a plant. This isn't part of a tree. This is part of me." Okay? And God created Eve, and what is the description? What is the job description that God gives to Eve? He says, "You are to help Adam in order for Adam to fulfill his role before God." Very, very important job description. Adam could not complete everything he needed to do without the help that Eve was supposed to give him. But Eve was supposed to be in submission to Adam. And for a while, things were well in the garden. And then, as we know the story, as you read Genesis, Satan comes and he starts talking to Eve, and he makes Eve think with her head independently from Adam. She did not come home to dinner that night with Adam and say, "You know, the snake came over here and he suggests that we try this tree over here that God said we're not to eat from." She makes her own decision. In marriage, in society, whatever relationship you're in, as well as the church, there is a submission to the powers that God has established in authority. And Eve rebelled against this. And she sins, and then she comes to Adam. And Adam does not think, but Adam responds emotionally from the heart. You see, women generally are more emotional than men. And God created Eve from the heart of man so that she would have the emotions that sometimes we as men don't have. But specifically for leadership and spiritual leadership in that family, Adam was supposed to be the leader. And when Eve came to him and says, "This is what I have done," instead of leading her in repentance back to God, he joins her. He says, "I would rather be with Eve than with God." And he deliberately, knowing what he was doing, he gave up his authority of leadership over Eve. And part of the punishment that God gives to Adam and Eve in the garden in chapter 3 of Genesis, to the woman he says, "You will desire to dominate your husband." And from that day on, all the way through history and even until today, it is something that Satan does in the lives of men and women to create an anxiety where one wants to dominate the other. And Jesus says, if you are a child of God, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, here Paul writes, he says, you will not want to dominate, but you will willingly, lovingly submit, as if Jesus was standing here and instructing us how to do this. And I want to repeat, this is difficult to do. This is impossible to do unless you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Authority is what gives order in the universe. Satan caused disharmony. Satan caused chaos in the garden, and Satan causes chaos in marriages even today. And so this idea of wives submitting to your husbands, it is an idea that in our society, women reject. Even Christian women reject. And as we get into this text further in the weeks to come, I'd like to propose to you that we change the way we think and the way we submit to each other, and wives in particular, that we rethink the way we react to our husbands so that our life would be an illustration of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. And we'll pick up the subject next time again. But in the meantime, remember Colossians 3:24. All you do, including your obedience and your submission to the word of God, do it as if you were doing it for Jesus Christ himself. Amen.